Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine. It's time for part two.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine for this May 11th, 2023, 10:32 on the clock. Got your host, James J. here, and I am joined by our good friend, Jasmine Carvajal. She is the 4-H educator with UW-Madison Extension Wood County. Good morning, Jasmine.
Good morning, James.
I always like to double check. Did I get the name right?
Yes, you did.
It's such a beautiful name. I have to get it right. I should be fined for not getting it right.
I appreciate that, because you're one of the few that does get it right. So.
Well, I can relate to that. Jasmine, we got a couple of events we want to talk about with the 4-H. Before we get to those, I just thought we'd get a quick update. How are things going with the gang? How are the kids doing?
Everything's going great. We're getting ready for summer. And, you know, the temperatures now outside are telling us, okay, it's finally here. Yes. So we have a couple of camps coming up. A lot of engagement for those. So we're really excited. Our summer camp, we're going to do a couple of camps in August, like Harbor Camp and things like that. Yeah, so lots of things that we're preparing for summer and just trying to, you know, make sure that we're ready, because once June hits, it's go.
It comes so fast, too, and it seems to go by so fast.
Yes.
How much of the winter is spent planning? I mean, I know you have events and things going on in the winter stuff to keep things busy as well, so you've already got your plate full, but you've got to think ahead a little bit. I imagine you have to spend, you know, kind of balance that time out.
Yeah, I think probably I would say February is when we do most of our planning for our summer. I mean, February, we already knew kind of what we were doing June, July, and August, you know, and then fair there at the end too in August. Right. So a lot of just those things, kids getting prepared and excited and ready to see what they're going to bring to the fair this year and all the great things that are coming. So yeah, it's just, I would say early in the year is when we prepare for the summer.
You know, one of the things that we talk with Laura about as well is how 4-H has evolved while staying very similar to, you know, people that were taking it 20 years ago and that. How you do that on paper, I would have no idea how you would pull that off, but you guys have. When we talk about that, though, do you have parents reach out sometimes and ask those kind of questions about, like, hey, I'm thinking of my kid joining 4-H, but what do you guys do? Do you get that a lot? Because I think of 4-H and I think, well, we all know what 4-H is, but do you? Do you really know? Like, you think you know, but I'm curious, because I, without talking with you and Laura once a month for the last couple of years, I don't think I would know as much as I do.
No, I agree. We do still get lots of calls, not just parents, but even just adults that, you know, maybe like saw something that we did and they're like, oh, I didn't realize that you could do that in 4-H, right? And so I think we definitely see it. We see it as we're, you know, doing events, just like, what? And even from youth themselves too, like, oh, I didn't realize that I could do robotics in 4-H, right? Or sewing workshops that we've done kind of at a county level. So we still do. And there is still that traditional component. So, you know, people that maybe like are like, oh, I don't know, I really like, that's fine. We still have all those traditional projects. We still have some of the clubs that kind of focus on certain things, but it's just expanded so much more. And, you know, that's good, because I think that's expanding that access to what we have, those resources.
And there's some relatability there. I think, you know, every bit, you know, WFHR is 80 plus years old. You know, we can't do what we were doing 60 years ago and expect to be relevant. Right. You have to update. You have to grow. But you want to do that while hanging on to your core people, the people that got you here. You don't want to abandon them. You don't want to, you know, lose them or anything. So how do you walk that bridge? How do you figure that out? Everybody's doing that in real time. It's not just us or the 4-H. It's a lot of businesses, a lot of nonprofits out there looking at how you do that. I think we can all learn from each other as well when we see how these things go on and everything. And that's one of the coolest things to me about, like, the first conversations I had with Laura and everything before you joined us. It was, I thought I understood what 4-H was. My sister took it and she loved 4-H. You know, it seemed like a thing that ag kids got into, and something that I, as a city boy, you know, it seemed cool to me. I didn't have anything against it, but oh, I would never fit in. Oh, there wouldn't be anything for me. You know, 13-year-old me is screaming at me now, like, hey, you should have been doing this the whole time. You'd had so much fun, and I'd stayed out of a lot of trouble, too.
Oh, man.
That giving kids nowadays such a great thing to be able to do like that. There's a lot of good after school programs and a lot of those things in this area. We can't have enough of these.
I agree with you. And you know, and something that I really appreciate in 4-H specifically is that we let the youth lead. So it's what sparks them, is what they want to do, is what they want to explore, what they want to grow in. Yeah. So to me, that's such an important component, because I can come in and say, you know, I only want things to be this way. Mm-hmm. But if that's not going to be something they're going to enjoy, they're not going to engage. They're just going to be like, no, never mind. But when we are like, okay, what do you guys like? What do you guys want to do? What kind of projects do you want to see? And they're engaged and they want to keep learning. Like, that's, they're leading, right? Yeah. They're learning those skills and they're leading and they're exploring what they want.
I know, especially as parents, one of our the bigger things is, how do I connect with my child? How do I reach my kid? That kind of thing, especially when they get to certain ages. My son's in his mid to early 20s, and it's still hard to connect sometimes and everything. Still trying to figure this out. But one of the things that we have as a gift is kids tell us. Kids, you know, if you're paying attention, they tell you how you can reach them. One of the things that is so relatable, every child in the world can relate to, how it felt when an adult gave you a responsibility, you know, and you felt like huge, you felt so big and everything, and felt like, oh, I'm a little bit of an adult now and stuff, because I'm in charge of this, or I get to jumpstart this, or they're asking me my ideas. It goes so far in building a child's confidence and giving a child an opportunity to use that brain, use that problem solving. Let them do it in these safer areas before they have to jump into the real world in real time and doing it.
Absolutely. And you know, there's so much that a lot of youth go through that we didn't go through, right? Yes. The world has changed. And so being able to listen to them and to say, hey, okay, we're here, you, and help you through that, I think that's so vital. I was at an event last night for our Juntos program, which I've talked about with you before, in Marshfield, and I had a parent say, well, you know, we came to this country and it's just, we just want them to succeed. And I was like, and yes, that's true. Mm-hmm. And the youth is the one that has to do all the work. And so have you talked to them about how hard it is, because now they're navigating, right? Like a whole different culture, a whole different world that maybe you came and you gave them a better life, but it's still hard. So like, we just, and the youth know, and it doesn't matter whether they're Latino, whether, you know, a person of color, it doesn't matter. Like, they all go through different experiences that us as adults, you know, we might have gone through, and now that we're older, we sometimes forget.
Yeah.
So
one of my best friends growing up in Chicago, because it had it pretty rough growing up myself, and things were hard. And my buddy Jamal, his family was from Puerto Rico.
Okay.
And he was the only one that spoke English in the family. Yeah. So he had to, you know, do all of that. And he's 13, 14 years old, and he was doing that. And I used to talk to him about this and stuff. I'm like, yeah, I think I got it rough. I don't have to do that. That whole other level. He felt such a responsibility towards it, but he also felt a lot of pride in it. I don't ever remember him complaining. I don't ever remember him saying, you know, it was just kind of, but the pride that he took, I can't imagine whatever he's doing now, the confidence that he has because of those things.
Yeah.
This kind of stuff exists in our families already. 4-H really gives kids an opportunity to, again, build some of that confidence, grow from these things, and know what it's like to have a little bit of responsibility or to lead something.
Absolutely. Yep. We have that space for them. And Laura and I, we're here to support them. We're here to support the volunteers so they know how to support the youth, right? And so, that's, I love it. We can talk 4-H, I think, forever.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I do want to get into the events. I know that's part of the reason you're here. So
that's
fine. I want to get to those.
We'll get there.
I want to take our time with it. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to get our break out of the way. Then we can come back.
Perfect.
We can talk right up to the top of the hour about those.
Sounds good.
We'll be back with Jasmine here on Morning Magazine at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody, to Morning Magazine here at WFHR, locally grown radio. We are hanging out with our friend Jasmine Carbajal, 4-H educator with UW-Madison Extension, Wood County. Jasmine, thanks again for being here. Appreciate the time.
Thanks for having me.
Got a couple things I'd like to talk to you about before we wrap up, and they are about some great events coming up. Let's go ahead and go in chronological with these.
Sure.
4-H Foodie. This is always a fun one.
Lots of foodie. It is, now that we're talking about summer coming, it is time for foodie, even more foodie. So we've been doing foodie every month during the year. But now that July is almost here, and I know it's the beginning of May, but July is almost here.
Yes, it is.
We do foodie every Thursday. But before we get into that July stuff, our last like yearly foodie is going to be Wednesday, May 24th in Albertdale. So you know that I love to do programming across the county because our county is so big. So I always try to see if I can make partnerships and places that I can do that. And so this one, we partner with the Family and Consumer Science teacher in Aberdeen High School.
Nice.
And she's going to let us use her space. And so we're going to be coming Wednesday, May 24th from 6 to 7 to the high school there in Aberdeen. And we're going to be doing some pastas called 4-H Foodie Pastalicious. Do you like pasta?
Now we're talking. I'm Italian. Yeah. I have to like I legally have to like pasta.
Yeah, it's true.
I love pasta.
It's true. You might get, you know, get taken out of the will if you don't. So we're going to be learning how to make pasta from scratch and make some just yummy dishes and learn about grains and just, have some fun with it. It is $5 per participant just to cover materials. I was having that conversation with a future partner about like, well, you know, how much do you charge? Is it really expensive? And I'm like, no, because if you let me use your space for free, I don't have to charge the kids you know, use your space. It's just basically to cover the materials for that day. So I do want people to register by May 15th, so they have through the weekend. And we have a flyer that people can find on our website, on our Facebook page, where they can just click the link and go and register for that.
I'm very spoiled when it comes to this. My Nana made pasta like from the old country, from Basil, from Venice and everything. So we'd make our own marinara, we'd make our own noodles, and didn't do it every time, but we did it a bunch, and enough to where I was when I was a kid to remember a lot of the process and everything. It is so cool, and it's such a fun thing to be a part of when you're young, especially to be able to see all this happening.
Yeah,
to you know, literally knowing how the sausage is made, you know, that kind of thing. Kids love that stuff, and then the pride that they have in the food that they made and people eating it.
Yes,
like there's nothing like that. It's something that never gets old, no matter how old you get, making food for somebody and them enjoying it and how great that feels.
And we know that, you know, if you involve youth kids in the cooking process, they will be more likely to try things. So it's one of those things where I've had parents be like, I can't believe they ate that. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? They took such pride in making it that like they better eat it. Like they want to eat it. Yeah. They're not going to give this away. So do you have a favorite memory, your favorite pasta? Share it with me.
So my angel hair was one of those things that was really hard to make, actually, I thought, when I was young. So I was really a fan of making the rigatone noodles. They're the chubbier noodle kind of thing. They a little round. I would maybe give up radio just to make rigatone noodles all day.
I love it.
It's so much fun. And it's one of those things where I think it's great to see the food. It's great to eat the food. You might not believe this, but you get such a different flavor almost out of these things. You know, is a weird example maybe, but you know, Skittles are all the same flavor, but the color of them are different. Mm-hmm. So when we see it, our brains think orange, so we're eating orange. Mm-hmm. When you know how these noodles are made, you know how the sauce is made, you almost taste the ingredients. You almost like feel a lot of that more. So I think that part's a fun part
too,
awesome. For kids especially.
You know, and the goal with foodie, it's always been kind of like, you know, I want them to learn the skill, learn all these skills, all these recipes so they can do them again. Mm-hmm. And it always fills my heart when they tell me, like, if I see them like the next month, like, oh, I made that and it turned out great. And it's like, yes, check mark. I did it.
Yes,
you learned it. You practiced what you learned. You applied it. So that's awesome.
Is this for certain age groups or anything?
So great question. It is for third graders and up. Mm-hmm. I've mentioned this before too. Like I start with third graders and up just because they're a little older.
Yeah.
They know usually how to handle a knife, even though I tell them how to handle a knife again and again during the class. But sometimes we do open it up. So, you know, I always tell families, like, make sure you stay posted on our Facebook page, on our website, because sometimes we do some that include like kindergarten and up. So third graders and up for this one on May 24th.
And one thing you and Laura always I love you guys for this, always very adamant about promoting that $5 that it takes for this. We really appreciate it because it helps the 4-H continue to do these kind of things, but we don't want that to hold anybody back either.
Right. It's something that we have always talked about. We will always find a sponsor or a scholarship or something. And it's something that, you know, I always like to share with our partners too, mm-hmm. because it's like, you know, if you just want to make a donation specifically for Foodie, then I can offer a class for free, yeah. right? Like, then I can cover those materials. And we are very thankful that we do have some great sponsors and some great mm-hmm. donors. So when we do have those opportunities, we take advantage of that as well.
Yeah, and a big thank you to all those sponsors yes. out there and the people that host these events. Yes. It's greatly appreciated. I will recommend to anybody out there listening that be like, well, I got a space. We can yeah. host.
Yes.
Please reach out to Laura, Jasmine, yes. you know, reach out to you guys, and we'll give that information before we wrap up today.
Yeah, that is half the battle, is if you have a space, just let us know, because we'll bring everything else.
So one more time, the date of the event and how people can register for it.
So it is Wednesday, May 24th from 6 to 7 at Auburndale High School. $5 per participant. It's for third graders and older. And if they can please register by May 25th by following the Bitly link on the website mm-hmm. or our Facebook page. And I think you have that up there.
Yeah, yeah. And what I did, I just tried to try this out this morning. Yep. I just typed in Wood County 4-H. Yep. That's all I typed in, and it popped up right away.
Yeah, perfect.
So it's another great way to be able to find the website and without having to try to give these website addresses
yes.
over the
yes.
air.
It's the simplest way. And you know, once you're in the website, we have a staff directory. So mm-hmm. even if you want to contact me directly or Laura, you can just find us there. Search us there and you'll find us.
4-H Foodie is coming up May 15th. Mark your calendars. And Foodie, 4-H Foodie Thursdays is just a thing. We got to remember this is going on strong and through July and on.
Yes. So every Thursday in July, I'm so excited to bring this back. So as you know, I've only been on for about a year, over a year.
Gosh, it's so weird. Sometimes it feels like you've been here for a lot longer, and other times it's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I know. So 4-H Foodie was something we actually started for the first time in July last mm-hmm. year, and it was such a big hit that we're bringing it back.
Cool.
So every Thursday in July, we're going to be meeting over at the Extension office. Mm. This is more just a save the date. I'm going to put some more details out later sure. this month, but we'll meet together. We'll mm-hmm. walk over to the farmer's market and we'll buy some ingredients, and then we'll walk back and then we'll cook something. So why this has been so popular, I think it really gets us out enjoying that summer yeah. weather, and yeah. we get some exercise in, and then it's that farm to table supporting local businesses mm-hmm. Portion of it. So if there are any vendors out there listening that are going to be at the farmer's market this year, let us know if you want us to stop yes. at your booth, because some of the things that last year we did is that each week we would stop at a specific vendor and they will tell us about their business and what they're growing and how they do it, and you know, and that was just so powerful for the youth to see that.
We are constantly looking for ways to find more empathy, opportunities for kids to have empathy in our society and mm-hmm. to feel for other people, to see the other side of the tracks or any of these kind of things. Our ag industry is so vital in this country, in this state especially.
Yes.
And we talk about buying local, supporting local, going to farmers markets a lot on the air here. It's another thing to be able to do this on the other end of stuff with the youth, and why buying and supporting local is so important, and teaching them why it's so important.
Yes.
It's every adult has done this, and I'm just as guilty as anybody else. I bark, but I don't do what I'm mm-hmm. barking. This is an opportunity where you're buying local, support local, and then they actually see you doing it.
Yeah.
That's key to this. Kids are smart. You can't fool them. You know, you might be able to con them a little bit when they're young babies and stuff like that, but they grow out of that quick.
That's true.
They are sponges picking all this yeah. stuff up. So you really believe in these things. You really want to do these things. This is how we make them happen. This is how we create future generations of doing these things. It may seem like simple, or I mean, it may not seem that complicated, because it's not. It doesn't have to be that complicated.
Mm-hmm.
I love the idea of having the Foodie Thursdays. That's really cool in general, but the walking about, the going to these places, the live interaction
yes.
stuff, there's so many layers to this that are bigger than food even.
You know, it's so simple for me to come in on Thursday and say, okay, here are the ingredients that we're going to use. Let's cook something, which is what I do during the year, what mm-hmm. I did this past year. But it's such a different level of commitment and enjoyment when the youth get to, hey, what carrots are we going to pick and why? Mm. And talking to that vendor about, like, what do you recommend and why?
Yeah.
And coming that from them directly, like, that is just so beautiful. And I know last year we even had a vendor who taught some of our youth that came how to make gorditas. So even
cool.
that cultural component,
yeah.
that, like,
yes.
I was not planning on doing that at all. And she's like, come on in. Let's make some. Yeah, let me yeah, show you how to yeah. do it. And I'm just like, that's awesome, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I am stepping away. You teach them. And I just watching them learn and and do that. So yes, I am so excited for that.
That's a great component of it. I didn't think about that part of it. Yeah. That is really cool. I also, as you were saying that, I thought of another thing too, where, you know, we've seen reports over the last couple of years of our farm, some of our farms not being around, some people not wanting to continue the family farm, that kind of thing. That's been a story since we were kids.
Yes.
You don't know what you might spark in a kid, and maybe they want to start a farm. Yeah. Maybe they want to get into this industry. It's another layer of this that seems really cool. It all kind of ties back to what the essence and the message of what 4-H is. It's not at all getting away from that. It's evolving it.
Correct.
I really think that's cool.
I love how you put it. That's exactly it. With the Thursday, 4-H Foodie Thursdays here in Rapids, we are actually adding a pop-up on July 11th. And so, again, I'll send more details out later this month. But in Marshfield. So last year we tried it out here in Rapids. It was such a huge success that we're bringing it again this year, but that I also had some families that like, well, we live like in this part of the county and that's a little far, especially in the summer. So we're going to try it out July 11th in Marshfield as well. It's a Tuesday because I know they have like a Tuesday's market and a Saturday's market.
Yeah.
So we're just, I think, expanding slowly. I was telling Laura, I'm like, I also don't want to expand too fast because there's only one of me and one of you. Yeah. So, and tons of summer programming. But yes.
That does remind me to remind the audience that they're always looking for volunteers with 4-H and could always use an extra set of hands when it comes to this stuff. And it's some of the most rewarding volunteering you're going to do.
Yes, I agree. You know, we always say to adults when they're like, well, we kind of want to help. We always start with what do you like to do? Because we want you to do things that you enjoy because that enjoyment is contagious and the youth are going to enjoy it too. So if there are any adults out there or even youth, you know, 19, 20, at that point they've aged out of 4-H, but they still want to keep doing projects. Let me know if you like cooking, if you like exercise. We're going to be walking and come join us and see what it's about. And we always are looking for leaders in different projects.
Especially for age ranges around there. You're looking in colleges. Yeah. They love that stuff on a college resume.
Absolutely.
Looks really good on a college resume.
Absolutely. And not only that, but the connections that you make. You know, Laura and I have been fortunate that we worked with some great youth. And now we're getting to the point where they're asking for college recommendation letters or like employer recommendation letters. And it's great, right? Because we see them go through this and now they're volunteering and now they're doing this and it's always happy. We're always happy to do that. So yes, for sure.
And I imagine, as you said, you know, we'll be giving more details on the Foodie Thursdays as they come. And Jasmine and Laura are fantastic about getting that information to us so we can get it to you on the air. We'll get you more details about it. Is there anything we could tease? Is there anything that you're thinking about? You're like, oh, I'd like to do this one. I think we might do it.
I
don't mean to put you on the spot, but
James,
I have to ask.
You're just trying to get all the secrets today.
I am a journalist. I have to ask the hardball questions.
I will tell you one of the things that we're planning this summer is sushi.
Ooh, nice.
I know.
You guys don't make it easy on yourselves, do you? You know, you pick these foods that are great.
It's so fun because some of them might be a little more complicated, but it's okay to do challenging things.
Yeah.
Because
then
they can see, like, and actually, sushi is super easy.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. I've never made that one.
Yeah, but you might think it is, right? And we explore creativity, too. So, because it's all based on what we find at the farmer's market that day, which is part of the challenge.
Another angle of this I didn't think about, using that imagination.
Yes.
There's never going to be a time, no matter what a young person does in their life, problem solving, their imagination is going to be key in that job, whatever it is. So getting a little bit more, working those muscles out is never a bad idea.
That's a cool part of this.
I didn't think of that.
Being flexible, just going with the flow, like, okay, this is what we found. This is where we're going to put in our sushi today.
Great.
So, yeah, so that's going to be one of the weeks.
Thanks. Thank you for sharing that. That's
You're
awesome.
You're welcome.
Before we wrap up, just got a couple minutes left. Again, wanted to remind people about volunteering. Appreciate anybody that can volunteer with the 4-H. It goes so far, and it helps Laura and Jasmine do the great work that they're doing. One less thing that they have to worry about when there's an extra set of hands to help out there. And we're talking kids. So come on, man. I mean, you guys know every set of hands counts when it comes to kids.
That's true.
And you touched on this in the beginning of the show, the camps that you guys offer. There's so much you guys do, we never have enough time. But I did want to mention those camps are so great for our area. It's such a great thing for parents and for kids alike. So do encourage people to reach out and find out more about those.
Absolutely. at Clover Bud camps for those K through second. We have cardboard camp. We have lots. We'll have like a multi-county outdoor day. Mm-hmm. So lots of that coming this summer.
Let's remind people again about the Pastalicious, the 4-H foodie.
Pastalicious, yes. Wednesday, May 24th from 6 to 7 at Auburndale High School. $5 per participant if people can register by May 15th. It's for third graders and up. And they can find the link on our website or Facebook page.
And Jasmine, if people have follow-up questions, they want to get a hold of you, is there an email we can send them to? Is there?
So my name, like you, even though you pronounce it really nicely, can be complicated, but it's jasmine.carvajal@wisc.edu. I would say just Google Wood County Extension and call that number. Yeah. And then they'll say, Wendy, I want to talk to Jasmine. And she'll connect you.
Yeah, Wendy's great. Wendy's awesome. And as I was saying earlier, just testing it out, it worked very well for me. I tried it with multiple search engines. So whatever search engine you use, type in there Wood County 4-H. Mm-hmm. You're going to find not only the great website to be able to find out more information about these things and reach Laura or Jasmine, but you can register for these events we're talking about, find out more about them, and possibly volunteer with our 4-H.
Absolutely.
We always have a great time with you. Thanks, Jasmine. We appreciate the time.
Thank you, James.
Tell the gang hi for us.
I will.
We'll take a break and get out of here for now, but we'll have more Morning Magazine for you tomorrow, everybody, as we wrap up the week of Morning Magazine. In part one, we'll have World Community Exchange. Lori and Rosie are going to join us. And then in part two, we'll have Thomas Redbeard, advertising manager, and Robert Baker, graphic designer with Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, going to talk with them to wrap up Morning Magazine for the week. As always, a big thank you to Pam Hilke and the fantastic work she does week in and week out scheduling this show. We'll get out of here for now, but have a great day, everybody. It's WFHR, locally grown radio.